Good morning. Today's Daf and Sota is Yud Aleph. We are starting on Yud Amud Beis, and we are at the two dots with Avshalom. Again, I want to thank the Masud family for sponsoring the entirety of Masechta Sota. The learning that we do should be for an Elias Neshama of Nechemia ben Avraham. We are starting today with Avshalom, and we are going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about Mida Keneged Mida. This is a general operating principle of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works with us, and that is that measure for measure. Measure for measure, both for bad and for good. So that means to say that if we are doing something wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matches us measure for measure. And it's not just by bad, it's by good as well. Okay, we're going to be focusing on the good a little bit later on, but right now we're talking about the bad. The Mishnah gave us two examples. You go back to the Mishnah that we saw yesterday. So the Mishnah is one example is by Shimshon, and that his eyes were gouged. And the Gemara says that's Mida Keneged Mida because of what he did with his eyes prior to that. See the last couple of days for more on that discussion of Shimshon. And Avshalom. So Avshalom was punished with his hair. And the Gemara now is going to be elaborating on Avshalom. So Avshalom is Gah Besaro. So as far as Avshalom is concerned, Nizga'e Besaro. That's what the Mishnah taught us. And that is that he glorified his hair. He reveled in his hair. So Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that gives us a little more detail. Avshalom Besaro Marad Shenemar Uchashalaya Ish Yafeh. The Navi. We're in Shmuel Beis right now, right in the middle of Shmuel Beis. And the description of Avshalom, so he was beautiful. The Navi describes. And Uvigalcho es Roshova Yamiket Yamim Yamim Asher Yigalech. Ki Chaved Allah Vigilcho Vishakal Sar Rosho. Masayim Shkalim Be'Evan HaMelech. So over here we're not quoting the Gemara's not quoting the Pesukim word for word, but still the basic point is that he was a Nazir. Already we established that in the beginning of Nazir, right? Daf Dalid, if I remember correctly. So he's a Nazir, but he was a Nazir Olam, which means that he cut his hair annually. And not only did he cut his hair annually, but he weighed his hair and weighed Masayim Shkalim, weighed 200 shekel. And Tana Evan Shanshe Tveria Vanshe Tzipor Shoklim Ba. And when they measured it, they used Evan HaMelech. Evan HaMelech. So that was a special weight. And the Gemara now gives us the significance of the special weight. It was the weight that was used by Anshe Tveria, Anshe Tziporim, whenever they were buying and selling. In other words, it was some sort of standardized weight. And that's the kind of weight that was used by Avshalom when measuring his hair. So again, in other words, he made a big production of his hair. Granted, a lot of good things to say. He was a Nazir, and a lot of good things to say. But nevertheless, when all said and done, he glorified. He was a Mizgaeh. Lefichach v'nitla besaro, and the Mishnah then goes on to tell us that when he died, so he died by his hair. Shenemar, and once again, we are now a little bit further into Shmuel Beis. This is now the 18th parak of Shmuel Beis. Vayikarei Avshalom lefnei Avdei David v'Avshalom rochev ala pered v'yavo peretach ha-shavach ha-ala or ha-ela ha-gedola v'yachezak rosh ba-ela v'yutan bein ha-shamayim v'bein ha-aretz v'aper asher tachta v'avar. So the description that's given at the end of Shmuel Beis is that Avshalom is riding on his mule, and what happens is that his hair gets stuck. And the donkey continues, the mule keeps on going, and he's suspended now. And the pasuk describes that he's basically suspended between the tree and the ground by his hair. So shakos afsira by lemifsikei. So now this is a gemara, meaning up until now we've been quoting the pasuk, and now the gemara is giving us more of the Torah. This is the Torah Shabbat Peh. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to take a sword and cut his hair so that basically he wouldn't be hanging by his hair. And Tandabe Rabbi Shmuel Ba'oso Shah. And at that very moment, Nivka Sha'ol Mechtachtav. So basically Sha'ol is a description of what I guess we would describe as hell. So it opened up underneath him. And basically he realized, recognized at that point in time, had he cut his hair, so he would fall into Sha'ol. He would fall into this, right, abyss or whatever the proper ways to describe it. Okay, so fine. So this is the death of Avshalom. So Yoav comes over. Yoav is the general of David, and he sees Avshalom. So David gave very clear instructions, and that is do not harm Avshalom, meaning capture him, but don't harm him. And Yoav So Yoav didn't, was not compliant. He didn't listen to the instructions. So, word got back to David HaMelech that Yoav, in fact, killed Avshalom. And now we are in the 19th parak of Shmuel Beis. Okay, so without going through the entire pasuk in its entirety and explaining everything, but he was lamenting, obviously. In other words, it was a tragic death of his son. And so he was lamenting, and if you count up the times it says in the pasuk the word b'ni, so you'll come up to the number 8. 8 times it says in the pasuk the word b'ni. So hana tamnaya. So lama. So shiva da'aske mishiva midura gehenim. So 7 in order to raise him from the seven floors of gehenim. And v'idach, so, and now as far as number 8 is concerned, so ikadami dekar v'esha lagabi gufe. So the, for the 8th time, so what he wanted is that the head and the rest of the body to get closer together. In other words, they were separated from one another. And so the 8th time to get them closer together. And v'igadamri di isalama dase. Or, alternatively, in other words, 7 is to remove him from Gehenna. And then the 8th is to bring him up to the amadase. Olam haba. Okay. And again, obviously the Gemara over here is laden with meaning. But we're going to go on. I know we got a lot coming up ahead of us in terms of what we have to do and what we have to cover. So unfortunately we're just going to fly. So the Avshalom was killed by Yoav. The pasuk goes on. Avshalom lakach v'yatsev lo bechayav. So my lakach. Now Avshalom took. So I'm Reish Lakish shalakach mekachra la'atzmal. So the what he took, in other words, what Avshalom took, ended up taking, was basically bad advice. In other words, the fact that he rebelled against his father and tried to start a revolution against his father. So that's the taking, right? Number of times, right? Vayikach Korach, right? And Korach took, and right Rashi there in Chumash also same discussion. What's the taking over there? So sometimes the word vayikach is in the context of not physical taking, but in other words, when he takes some bad advice. That also falls under the category of Vayikach. We're in the same pasuk. We're still in the 18th parak now of Shmuel Beis, and that's Matzevus Asher Be'emek Amalach. So, Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Be'itza Amuka Shel Malkosha Olam. So the as far as the actions of Avshalom were concerned, Eitza Amuka. In other words, deep advice. In other words, basically. Although Avshalom himself made his own decisions, this is a hard balance. But nevertheless, we're gonna try to thread the needle over here. Despite the fact that Avshalom made his own choices, nevertheless, it was orchestrated by a Kadosh Baruch Hu because David HaMelech deserved it. In other words, this is part of the onus towards David HaMelech. Dichsiv in the Gemara, as we now are on the very top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Dichsiv Hineni Mekim Alecha Ra Mi Beisecha. So the Navi said to David HaMelech, this is after the episode of Bat Sheva, so bad is going to come straight out of your own home. So in other words, because of your dealings with Bat Sheva, so the Ra is going to come right from your house. So the Avshalom episode occurring years later is a result of David HaMelech's own actions with Bat Sheva. Kayotze b'davar ha-tomer, the Gemara says, I'll give you something similar. And that is Vayishachu me'emek chavron. So when Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef, so Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa be'itza amuka shalosu tzadik shekaver bechevron dechsev yado tida ki gei zarecha. So once again, we're going to thread the needle, meaning the brothers sold Yosef. In other words, and that's on them for selling Yosef. But as far as the orchestration and the calibration, the fact that it all happened, so that's coming because Hakadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated it because. That was promised to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, Yado Teda, you know that your children are going to be enslaved by people for 400 years, otherwise known as Bris Ben Abisarim. So, in other words, so now we move ahead, fast forward, 3 generations later, and now the selling of Yosef, which is really the beginning of Sheba and Mitzrayim. Okay. We said by Asa, one of the kings of Yehuda, in yesterday's daf, that he was Osa Angaria, Angaria b'Talmid Chachamim. He enlisted the young Talmid Chachamim, and as a result of that, he was punished. And yesterday, when we were doing the daf, so I was thinking, didn't we say the same thing by Avraham Avinu? And so I did my research yesterday, and good, I remembered something. And the Gemara Nedarim, Daf Lamed Beis said the same thing by Avraham Avinu. Meaning, the Gemara Nedarim is bothered by a simple question: what did Avraham Avinu do wrong? Meaning, Akash Baruch Hu said to him, "Your children are going to be enslaved for 400 years." Oh, okay. What happened? Meaning, what did Avraham Avinu do wrong? So there's not one answer to that question. There are multiple answers to that question, but one of the answers to that question, the Gemara Nedarim tells us, is that he when he fought the wars, four kings, five kings, when he fought the wars. So who did he enlist? He enlisted Talmid Chachamim. And so the Gemara said the same thing by Avraham Avinu. Okay. Anyway, so Yadoa Teda. So this is the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, and as far as orchestrating it, that came to that started by Yosef and his sale. Ki Amar Ein Li Ben. Okay, now we're heading back to Avshalom. And we are wrapping up over here on Avshalom. So Ki Amar Ein Li Ben. So again, this is now the 18th parak of Shmuel Beis. And Velo Havale Bane. Now, the pasuk sounds like Avshalom did not have any children, specifically he didn't have any sons. But the Gemara says, but I can't read the pasuk kipshuto, because I know differently. Meaning, we have pretty clear pesukim that said that he had three sons. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Shailo ben Hagon l'Malchus. So the Gemara says, okay, so he had sons, but no one who was mamale makom. Nobody was fit to take over his position, meaning, okay, he didn't have sons who were worthy enough. Rav Chista Amar, Gimir Kol Asar Tvoso Shel Chavero, Eino Meniach Ben Liyorsho. So Rav Chista gives a different answer. And that is that, yes, it's true that he had sons, but they died. And how do I know that? Because we have a tradition that anyone who is Sar Tvoso Shel Chavero, when you're burning the grains of your friends, so Eino Meniach Ben Liyorsho, you're not going to have a son. Meaning, even if you have children, they're not going to survive. So the EU, so Kal Yidioav. And as far as Avshalom was concerned, he burnt the tfua, the fields, the grains of Yoav. Dichsiv, Vayomer, Elavadav, Ru'u, Chelkas Yoav El Yadi, Velo, Sham, Se'orim, Lechuvitzitzu Be'esh, Vayitzitzu Avde Avshalom, Esa Chelka Be'esh. And that's exactly what he did. He, Avshalom, burnt the fields of Yoav. And so as a result of that, so he himself lost his sons. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Gemara. On Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, we are about a dozen lines from the top of the Amud, and we just finished the Gemaras of Shalom. So again, the construct over here of today's daf is the Midah Keneged Midah. So that's the mission that we saw. It's the mission that we are currently in right now and discussing in great detail. And so far we went over the two examples of Midah Keneged Midah Lira'a. That work out for bad, meaning that way Kadosh Baruch Hu always deals measure for measure, and when dealing measure for measure, so we went over Shimshon and Avshalom. Shimshon in tremendous detail, right? Almost two blot of Gemara regarding Shimshon, and now Avshalom, not much detail, but still. In other words, the idea that Avshalom died, it was Mizgah B'Saro, and he died by being hung by his hair, so that also is Mida Keneged Mida Lira'a. Okay, now we turn. We're on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're at the Tudas V'chein L'Inyan Atova Miriam. So, and now the Gemara points out, not only is Mida Keneged Mida working L'Ra'a, but it also works L'Tova as well. And the Gemara over here is going to be giving examples. Our first example is that by Miriam. So what did Miriam do? So she waited for Moshe. Now she waited for Moshe. I think everyone here is familiar with the story. So Moshe was put in a basket, right? It's sent down the Nile. Yeah, okay, good. Everyone's got the basics. And by the way, in terms of today's daf, beyond topical, meaning, so here we are in Chol HaMoed Pesach, and we're going to be discussing the episode of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay. Works out well. So the Gemara now wants to know, Midami Hasa Mechadashaita Hacha Shiva Yomi. So now the Gemara says like this. Now, we're looking for Midah Keneged Midah. Now, Midah Keneged Midah literally means measure for measure, which means that basically it's going to be equal. And the Gemara now is bothered by the fact that, wait one second, it's not equal. Now, the Gemara is bothered, by the way, this is a good problem, but it's still a problem. Meaning that when you're dealing with good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reward exceeds that which you put in. So in other words, when it comes to bad, so it's mamish measure for measure. But when it comes to good, so the return on investment is going to be greater than the investment, which is generally speaking how we like our investments. But when it comes latova, so it's not the same, it's not equal. And so it's a good problem, but it's still a problem. Meaning the Mishnah is telling us that just like mida keneged mida works by bad, it works for good as well. And the Gemara is noting it's not true. Meaning how long did Miriam wait for Moshe? I don't know. The Gemara says shaita achad. In other words, she waited a little bit of time. Whatever the time is, how long did the Jewish people wait for Miriam when she had tzaras? So 7 days. So it's measure for measure, but it's not equal measure for measure. Right? Tremendous return on investment when you're talking about Latova. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Gemara is going to give two solutions to the problem. Amar Abaye Emalin Yintova Eino Kein. So Abaye says, okay, so edit the Mishnah. And again, classic, meaning Abaye and Rava in terms of how to deal with problems of the Mishnah, textual problems of the Mishnah. And so Abaye takes out his pen and starts editing and says, okay, in other words, when you're talking about Mida Tova, so it's not going to be measure for measure. It won't be exact. In fact, but when it comes to good, so Eino Kein, it's not the same, meaning you're going to get a greater return on investment. So Amar Le Rava Havechelin Yatova Ketani, and Rava says, no, please do not tinker with the text of the Mishnah. Meaning if we have a Mishnah and we have a particular girsa of the Mishnah, don't change the girsa. And again, you've heard me say this before, but this is it's a classic positioning of Abaye and Rava, where Abaye is more comfortable changing text of the Mishnah, and Rava is much less comfortable. So Elam Rava, so Rava says, okay, well, we have to solve for the problem that it's not the same. The Ra and the Tova are not the same. So Elam Rava, Hachi Ketana V'chein Lin Yitova, Debeoso Midam. So Ula Olam Mida Tova Meruba Mimida Peronius. So the Gemara says, look, in terms of understanding the Mishnah, we'll do as follows. And that Mida Keneged Mida works for good and it works for bad. Or let me go in the correct order of the Mishnah. It works for bad, Lara, and it also works for Tova as well. And we'll also add the following. In other words, Akash Baruch Hu is going to be rewarding in the same instrument in which the person did the good. But in terms of amount, so that's where it's going to fluctuate. Meaning when it comes to bad, when it comes to ra'ah, so it's going to be the same instrument and also measure for measure. When it comes for good, it's going to be same instrument, but greater amounts. Okay, that's how Rav is going to deal with the Mishnah. And so, I'm going to breathe for just a moment, and now let's go. So what we're going to do now is that we are going to meticulously darshan a lot of the psukim in the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Meaning as long as we're talking about Miriam and waiting on the basket, so we are going to be darshaning lots and lots of psukim. First, we're going to start in Perek Beis, okay? And like I said yesterday, right? A little bit choppy in terms of not following the psukim faithfully from beginning to end. In other words, we're not going to go sequentially in the psukim, but still, in other words, we're going to be basically in this area, and this will be the rest of today's daf. So I would say sit back and enjoy, but we're learning right now, so don't sit back. Lean forward, but still enjoy all these drashas. So what she's doing is that she's standing at a distance to see what's going to happen. So when you're darshing this pasuk, so all this is al shem shchina, meaning Hashem's name is encrypted in every word in this pasuk. So it's not just Miriam casually observing, which in of itself is no small thing. But on top of that, it's basically Hashem orchestrating. And you could just follow word by word in the Pasuk, and you're going to see Hashem's name. So, and basically, with every word over here, you're going to see, the Gemara is going to sign another Pasuk that shows you that that is associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the word is associated directly with Hashem's name. So, I'm just going to go quickly over here, run through the Pesukim. I'm not going to give proper background to all the Pesukim being quoted, but you get the basic point. Every word is connected with Hashem. And Merachok Dichsev, Merachok Hashem Nirali. Lada As Dichsev Ki Kel Deos Hashem. Ma Dichsev Ma Hashem Elokech Hashem Meimach. And Ye As Dichsev Ki Lo Yase Hashem Elokim Davar. And finally the word Lo. Dichsev Vayikra Lo Hashem Shalom. Okay, good. So, and the basic point of the Gemara is, is that all this is directly being orchestrated by Hashem. The fact that Moshe is in the Teva, going down the Nile, eventually going to be picked up by Bas Paro, that's all Me Hashem. And you see it in the Pasuk, meaning a careful reading of the Pasuk. And also basic knowledge of all the other Pasukim that we quoted, and we were all over the place. Amo, Shmuel, whatever. Okay, you get everyone gets the basic idea. We continue. Vayaka Melech Hadash. Okay, so now that was in the second parak of Shmos. In other words, that's by already Moshe's already born and he's being cast down the Nile. But now we back up. We're now in the very beginning of Sefer Shmos, Parsha Shmos. We're in Parak Aleph, and we're going to be starting over here in Pasuk Ches. Okay, many of these drashas you already know because Chumash Rashi. In other words, Rashi brings down so many of these on Chumash, and hopefully some of them we even discussed at the Seder. Maybe. Vayaka Melech Hadash. So here comes a new king. So Rav Shmuel, the Gemara brings down a machlokas Amar Chadamar Chadash Mamish. So one says it's a brand new king. In other words, Melech Hadash to be understood literally, meaning new Paro, not the old Paro. So the V'charamar Shinis Chachuk 07. The other one says no. In other words, same old king, new decrees, new attitude. So Mandamar Chadash Mamish Nichsiv Chadash. So in terms of defending the first position, not that hard to defend. It said the word Chadash. Usually that means new king. And Umanda Amar Shinis Chachuk 07. The Loksiv Vayamas Vayimloch. Now in terms of arguing that's the same king, so over here also an easy position to defend. Because it never mentions the death of the previous Paro. It doesn't say, the Pasuk doesn't say, Vayamas, that the old king died. So, Asher lo yada, es Yosef, dami kemanda lo yada leklal. Now, the Pasuk does describe that he doesn't know Yosef. So if it's a new king, so at least I understand he didn't know Yosef. Meaning, good, the brand new king. So, didn't know nor appreciate everything that Yosef did from Mitzrayim. Saved the entire country. But if we're talking now that it was the old king, so what does it mean he didn't know Yosef? So it means that, basically, once again, attitudinal change. He knew Yosef. He just simply decided that, you know what? Thank you, Yosef, but no more interested in showing appreciation. Okay. It's kamandalo yada leklal. It was as if he didn't know. So vayomer lamo hinam b'nei Yisrael. So we are now moving ahead one pasuk. We're in pasuk test. This is all first parak of Shmos. So he started advising first. In other words, Paro was basically the first one who thought, what are we going to do about the Jewish problem? So and that's why he was the one who was hit first. He's the one who said to his nation, and now, this is by the Makav Tzfardea. And yes, by the way, in other words, the Gemara, of course, is picking its spots in terms of where do we see that Paro was hit first, but over here by Tzfardea, really clear. Uvecha, first you, meaning Paro, and then Uvamcha v'chol avadecha. Okay. Havan nishak malo, so now we're pasuk yud. Okay, so far, ches test, now pasuk yud, third pasuk. Havan nishak malo, lahem mi ba'ile. Now over here, a lot of grammatical problems in the psukim, which the Gemara is picking up on. So let's outsmart them. That's what the pasuk should say. It didn't say that. Hava nischak malo. Let's outsmart him. Who's the him? So the Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina bo v'nechkam l'moshim sh'Yisrael. So him over here, capital H. Meaning Paro is basically launching into attack not only against the Jews, but against their God. So b'men nidonam nidonam be. So now, in other words, all of his considerations are basically taken into consideration what can God handle, what can God not handle. Now, as we are discussing this, by the way, we're going to be entertained by the thought of, you know, what can he handle, what can he not handle? Omnipotent, right? Omniscient. So, right. So there are no limits. But, in other words, Paro, in his thought process now, is wondering, like, what's a good idea? So, Nidonim Be'esh, so maybe we should judge him in fire. Meaning, basically, let's somehow deal with the Jewish people by fire. So, ki ne'ashem be'ish yavo. So, you can't do that because of the pasuk. Now, right, you and I understand, by the way, we're quoting pasuk in Yeshayahu, that's not yet written by the time of Paro. But again, this is nevuah. So, in other words, the ideas are all there already. It's just a question of articulating these ideas So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu. So uksiv ki be'esh Hashem nishpat. So and another pasuk also in Yeshayahu that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be judging the enemies in fire. Meaning, if I may borrow a phrase, don't play with fire, right? Paro says, because you play with fire, you get burnt. So I can't judge the Jewish people in fire. That's not going to work. So b'cherev ksiva v'charvo es kol basar. And by sword, in other words, I can't kill the Jewish people by sword because once again, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to get me back with the sword. And he quotes another pasuk as well that speaks to this idea. So ela bo v'nidonam b'mayim shekvar nishma Kadosh Baruch Hu she'enu mevi ma b'lolam she'nemer ki meinoch zos li. Ah, so you know how we're going to judge the Jewish people? By water. So in other words, the Jewish problem, the Jewish solution is that we're going to kill them with water. Because I know their God is not going to destroy the world with water. So we're going to be good. Paro's thought process. So Vehene na Yodim, now the Gemara points out that as far as Paro's concerned, so what didn't he realize? What was his calculated mistake? So Hene Yodim, Shal Kola Olam Kulo, Eina Mevi, Ava Uma Achas, Hu Mevi. So yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu did promise that he's not going to submerge the world in water. That part's true. But a single nation in water? Yeah, that's going to happen. And, right, that's in fact exactly what happened to Mitzrayim. A single nation in water. So, inami, hu enamevi avahin, bayim v'noflim besocho, v'cheinu omer, u'mitzrayim nasim l'kraso. Alternatively, when it comes to the Egyptians being drowned in water, it's not that the water came to the Egyptians. The Egyptians went to the water. Ran to the water. Right? Now, granted, by the way, the water split, and there they are thinking that they're going to be safe as they're walking through the water, but when all said and done, the water didn't come to the Egyptians. The Egyptians went to the water. The pot that Paro used to cook the Jewish people is the same pot that Paro himself is cooked in. Again, Mida connected. Mida, I know the themes of today are going to sound a little repetitive, but the idea is that Paro thought to drown the Jewish people, and meanwhile, Paro and his nation got drowned. Okay, when counseling, so Paro was not alone in terms of seeking to counsel how to solve for the Jewish problem. So what did he have? He had advisors. And who were those advisors? Three advisors, tells us the Gemara. So Bilam, Eov, Yisro. So the three advisors are Bilam, Eov, and Yisro. Bilam, Shiatz. So as far as Bilam is concerned, so he gave Eitza. So he gave counsel, meaning the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but it's clear from the context of the Gemara. So Paro said, what do I do with the Jewish problem? Bilam's response is, kill them. And again, right, the Gemara says it knowing that later on, Bilam's going to basically try to do the same thing again with a different king, otherwise known as Balak. Okay, so and Eov, Shasak. Now, as far as Eov is concerned, so Shasak, so he was quiet. And yes, in other words, the Gemara puts Eov over here historically at the council of Paro in Mitzrayim. Now, the Gemara, the beginning of Baba Basra, has Eov historically all over the place. In terms of when Eov lived, and the Gemara even has an opinion that Eov is not an actual figure, but just simply a representation of philosophical discussions between good and bad, and why bad things happen to good people. Okay, so our Gemara over here clearly, either the Gemara here is to be taken literally, alternatively, the Gemara is just simply giving us archetypes, if you will. Either way, our Gemara has Eov as part of the council. So what did Eov do? Shosik. So he was quiet, meaning he didn't go in either direction. And Nidom Yisur. And the Gemara says, as far as Eov is concerned, well, I'm sorry, was I clear about Bilam? Bilam Shiatz Neharak. Okay. So Bilam, who gave the counsel to kill the Jewish people, so he himself was killed. Okay. Again, Mida Keneged Mida. Eov said nothing at the council, and as a result of that, he was punished with Yisur. He suffered. And Yisur Shabarach. Now, Yisro at that point in time ran away, meaning by running away, it was a protest. It was a silent protest. It was whatever. In other words, if he stayed and protested, probably he would have been killed. Anyway, he protested, but his former protest was running away. But that was a good thing. And the Gemara says, Zachu mi b'nei banav sheyeshu b'lishka zagazif. And because now he did not contribute to the council of what to do with the Jewish people, nor was he quiet, but because he ran away, so he was rewarded. And his reward was that his descendants were serving as judges in the Lishkas HaGazis. Shenamro Mishpachos Tofrim Yoshve Yavitz Tar Tiratim and Shimatim and Sochasim and Hema Hakinim Habay Mechamas Avi Beis Rechev. So over here, the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim tells us that who are the Lishkas Hagazis. So the Gemara gives us a number of different groups of people. See Rashi over here who gives us a little bit of the etymology of these names, but for our purposes right now, all we need to know is the next pasuk, Uksiv, Uvnei Keni Chose Moshe, that some of these people were singing the Lishkas Hagazis, so they were descendants from Yisro. Okay. And the Gemara now traces us back to the fact that Yisro did not contribute to the council, in fact, protested on killing the Jews. So as a result of that, so he was rewarded. And his descendants served as the as members of the Sanhedrin.
Dissuade him by warning him that, you know, this is Pharaoh's plan, and like,
right.
I guess by then it was the obvious what Pharaoh's planning to do with.
Right, fair. Okay, so far we did Psukim Ches Tes. We are now still in Yud. So Vinocham Banu Va'alam in Arts. So what he's going to do is Vinocham Banu, meaning Pharaoh now in communicating with his people, with his council. So he said that what's going to happen is that then as this nation grows, meaning Bnei Yisrael, so as this nation grows, so they're going to v'necham banu, they're going to fight against us, and v'Allah min ha'aretz. Now again, grammar alert. In other words, v'Allah should not be the way, that shouldn't be the syntax. In other words, that the Allah and the Jewish people are going to be have to be forced to leave the land. That's not Paro's concern. Paro's concern is that Bnei Yisrael are going to start a revolution and we're going to have to leave the land. So, and how should the grammar work? Va'alinu mi ba'ile. So the pasuk should say the word va'alinu. Okay. So, So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, ka'adna shemekal asatzmo, and tol kolasa b'chaver. So the Gemara says it's a figure of speech. And that is that, when you are cursing yourselves, and you don't want to, even though you are cursing yourselves, you don't want to say it. So what you do is basically, you put the curse on somebody else, even though you're referring to yourself. Okay? And so it's just a figure of speech, and the Gemara says that that's what Pyro was employing over here, and that's how to explain the pasuk. Vayasimu alav sarei misim. Okay, we're moving ahead one more pasuk. We're in pasuk Yud Aleph, and placing on him sarei misim. Okay. So this is now the very beginning of the servitude of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. So alehem mi ba'ile, once again. So what we have over here is a grammar alert. The pasuk syntactually, I just made up that word. So the pasuk should have said vayasimu alehem sarei misim, and he placed taskmasters over them. That's what the pasuk should say. And meanwhile, the pasuk says vayasimu alav, and Paro placed on him, meaning on himself, sarei misim. That's difficult. So Tana de Bei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Melamish Evi Malbein. So what he did is the following, and that is that he took a brick and v'talulo paro b'tzavaro, and he hung it around his neck. And v'chol echa v'echa misol she'amar lehem istinis ani amar lo klum istinis ata yoser miparo. And so basically he said like this, look, we're all in this together. In other words, let's all work together. And in other words, this will be I don't want to get political, but this will be like a socialist environment over here, and we're all going to pitch in. And I'm wearing a brick as well, meaning, and anyone who's thinking to themselves, like, I can't work, like, that's manual labor, that's crazy. So we're all going to look at Paro, and Paro's wearing the brick around his neck as well. Wait one second, if Paro's doing it, so, right, I'm any better than Paro? He's the king. And he's wearing a brick, we should wear a brick as well. Meaning we should be involved in the working of bricks. Okay. Sarei misim. So davar shemesim. So and the word sarei misim. So the word mesim, we're like, what are we going to do with that word? So the Gemara says davar shemesim. And Rashi spent some time over here trying to explain the word, but basically it's a placement. In other words, that this sign that Paro does is now going to be placing labor upon the Jewish people. Laman anoso besivlo sam. So anosami baile, once again, here we go with another grammar and syntax problem. And that is the laman anoso. What do you mean anoso? And he should be afflicted? And they, meaning the Jewish people, should be afflicted. So laman anoso lafaro besivlo sam diyisrael. Meaning through power's affliction, meaning anoso is referring to the brick that he's wearing. And yes, in other words, and it's a burden on Paro, but that's exactly the point. Meaning by making himself the example of, hey, I'm working also, so now sivlo sum. So we're suffering now because of the brick that Paro is wearing around his neck. Vayivan ari miskenos lefaro. So now we're building cities for Paro. And Ravu Shmuel, now over here we're focusing on the word miskenos. Cities of, it's a hard word to translate, and the Gemara is going to struggle a little bit in terms of translating the word. So, Rav Shmuel Chanamar Shemisaknos es Baalehem. So, what it does is that endangers those people that build it. In other words, this was dangerous buildings. Okay, meaning the act of building over here is dangerous, and people die while in the building process. And so, the word Miskanos comes from the word Sakana. It's dangerous, dangerous work. That's one possibility. V'charamar shemimaskenos es baleim. D'amramar kolosik bebinyam mistaken. Or alternatively, another way to understand the word miskenos is from the word in poverty. It makes people poor. Okay, you get involved in construction, you get involved in building, and what happens is you become poor. Okay, I understand. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, but basically, in other words, it wasn't good for the Egyptian economy. And that's the word miskanos. It's pisum ves ramses. And by the way, the Rashi also over here spent some time going over couple of interpretations. I only gave one version of Rashi. Okay, but we're going to go on. Es pisum ves ramses. Now, as far as the cities that the Jewish people were building, so pisum and ramses in the Gemara Darshans. Rav Shmuel. So once again, machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Chad amar pisum shema. So in other words, of the two names that are given over here, one's an actual name and the other one's a descriptive, it's an adjective. So Pitzum is the actual name. V'lamani krashmo ramses, sherishon rishon misroses. When they would just build a little bit, so the building would fall. And so it would require constant building, rebuilding. In other words, it didn't go up in one fell swoop. And so basically it forced the Jews to work and continuously work, even though the productivity was really down. Okay, that is one way to explain it. The word Ramses meaning that it fell. Charama Ramses Shema, alternatively, it can go in the opposite direction. Really, the name of the city is Ramses, and V'lamanik Roshmo Pitzom, and Pitzom is the adjective, and what is it describing? Rishon Rishon, Pitahom Bolo. As far as little by little, it was submerged into the ground, meaning it wasn't bedrock, and the ground wasn't able to handle it, and it just basically went into the ground. It's a very similar idea over here. It's just a question of which word are we darshaning, and which word is the actual name. But ultimately, they end up agreeing with each other in terms of what the intent is. The intent is that they were building, and it just wasn't going smoothly. And that was part of the point. So, once again, here we get to a syntax problem in the Pasuk. We're up to the next Pasuk in Shmos. We're in Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay. Here, right, you see my point that I made already a couple of times. And that is over here, the Gemara is just simply going sequentially through the Pesukim. Like, in other words, it's basically Medrash. Right? This is now, like, much more traditional, just Pasuk by Pasuk. So here we are now already up to Pasuk Yud Beis. And, so once again, with a syntax problem. What is the syntax problem? Kain rabu v'chein partsumi ba'ile. And in other words, if you want agreement between the first and the second part of the pasuk, v'chasher ya'anu oso, and as they were being afflicted, so what the pasuk should then say is kain rabu v'chein partsu. So they multiplied. That's how the pasuk should have read. And it doesn't read that way. And meanwhile, kain yirbe v'chein yifrots. They will multiply. Well, that's not, the second half of the pasuk is not agreeing with the first half in terms of syntax. Amar Reish Lakish Ruach HaKadosh Mivasartan Ken Yirbe V'Chein Yifrots. Oh. So in other words, the correct way to interpret the pasuk is as follows, that as Paro was afflicting the Jewish people, so now, so the Ruach HaKadosh came out and said, You'll see what's going to happen. The Jewish people will populate significantly. So in other words, the second half of the pasuk is not what happened, but the response of Ruach HaKodesh to the suffering of the Jewish people. Aviakutzmi Pnei Bnei Yisrael. The Egyptians were disgusted by the Jewish people. So Malamish Ayudomim Be'inem Kekotzim. So when the Egyptians saw the Jewish people and the Jewish people procreating and multiplying, so it was like it was basically like thorns, meaning the Vayakutsu is from the root of thorns, coats. Okay, Vayavidu Mitzrayim es Bnei Yisrael bifarach. They enslaved the Jewish people and they did so bifarach. This is now Pasuk Yud Gimel as we turn to the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis in today's daf. So Rabbi Lazar Amar bifarach. So different interpretations of what bifarach means. Okay, ask anyone out there, what does the word bifarach mean? So they're going to tell you that it means backbreaking labor. They're not wrong, but here they are. So bifarach, so according to the first drasha of the Gemara, in other words, what Paro did is that he spoke softly. Bifarach is a contraction of the two words, bifarach, with a soft mouth. Meaning that what he did initially is that he spoke very softly to the Jewish people and basically got them to work, but with persuasion and like we discussed earlier, meaning like with the brick around his neck, meaning let's do it. And then Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini Amar Bifricha. So no, in other words, and the Gemara gives a second interpretation, which is the one that I would suggest is more common, and that is no backbreaking work. Now, Vayamaruz Chayim Bavodah Kasha Bechomer Vavenim. So, and now we're up to Pasuk Yedaled, and they embittered their lives with hard work. Chomer Uvil Vavenim. Okay, bricks and mortar. Mortar and bricks. Anyway. Amrava Bitchila Bechomer Vavenim Levisov Vechol Avodah Kasha. I'm sorry, Vechol Avodah Basada. Which kind of work are we talking about? So, the first Pasuk says Bechomer Vavenim. Now, not cited by the Gemara, but the end of that Pasuk. Uvechol avoda basada, brick and mortar work. Alternatively, all work in the field. So the Gemara Darshan's over here. Yeah, in other words, stages. First, it was brick and mortar, and then it turned into all work in the field. Okay. Is kol avoda samasher avdu bahem bifarech. Now, at the end of that very pasuk, same pasuk. So at the end of that pasuk, it ends with saying backbreaking work. Am Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Am Rav Yonasan Shayim Achlifa Malachas Anashim La Anashim, Malachas Nashim La Anashim. Okay, famous Gemara Rashi again. Rashi and Chumash brings this down as well, and that is that they gave the men women's labor and they gave the women men's labor, and that was very difficult. Obviously, work that was that men were not used to doing, work that women were not used to doing, and so in other words, it was disruptive for both. And even if you understood that the word ferach used previously in the pasuk meant softly, so that was previously, but over here at this stage of the pasuk, meaning when it was repeated again over here, everyone's going to agree that the word ferach over here means backbreaking work. Okay. Okay, something that we are familiar with, but this is it. We are here in the Gemara Sota, Daf Yud Aleph. And because of Nashim Tzidkaniyos, because of the heroic act of women, so that generation was saved. Nigalu Yisrael Mimitzrayim. So, Bisha Shahochos Lishov Mayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezamer Lahem Dagim Ketanim Bekadehem. So they went to go draw water, these righteous women in Mitzrayim. And when they did, so they not only were able to draw water, but fish as well. And so now they had water, they had fish. They were coming back with both. And now what they did is that when they put it on their stove, so they had a classic kira, right? Two stove tops. And so one they put water and the other one they put fish. And now what they would do is that when they come to their husbands that were involved in backbreaking work out in the field, and they came with both the fish and with the water. Some tea, if you will. And what they would do is that they would bathe themselves. In other words, the water was not for drinking. The water over there was for them to bathe themselves. and they would also eat together. V'nizkakus lahem bein sifasayim shenemar, im tishkavun bein sifasayim. And then, basically, what they would do is that they would, I was going to use the word seduce, it's husband and wife, but okay, still, right? In other words, they would get their husbands to be involved in marital matters, intimacy. And Shabbos Chai Tishkevu Mitzvahsayim, Zachi Sol Levizas Mitzrayim, Shenemar, Kanfei Yonah Nechba Bekesav Evrasah, Birak Rok Charutz. And because of that, in other words, they were able to procreate and continue the Jewish people. The Kavish and his Abros Balsabatehem. So now the women were impregnated. And they went back to their homes. The Kavish and Magiav's Man Moldehen. Now they were ready to give birth. So Hochos the oldest beside Tachas HaTepoch. They went out to the field under what we translate the apple tree, probably not apples, but regardless. They went under the apple tree, and how do I know that? Shenemar. So we just read this in Shul yesterday. Shir HaShirim, eighth perek, final perek of Shir HaShirim. So Tachas HaTepoch Orer Ticha, I aroused you under the apple tree. So V'akadosh Baruch Hu Sholech Mishmei Marom, Mi Sheminekir U'Mishapir Osam. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is that he sent from on high someone who was going to clean and beautify the child that was just born. So, sorry, Pasuk in Yecheskel, I know I'm not reading it correctly. So, so the Pasuk describes that basically the child was beautified. In other words, was born under the in the orchard. And was beautified. V'amayim lo ruchatzta l'mishi. And it was not washed. In other words, the baby came out. The baby was full of blood and it wasn't washed. U'malaki lahem shnei agulin. Achas shoshem v'achas shodvash. And they were able to take with them two stones. I was going to say stones. They're not stones. But anyway. So one was of oil and the other one was honey. Shenemar v'yinikeo dvash misel v'shemen. So and basically with the honey and with the oil, so they were able to clean up the child as it was born. Okay, now as we all know, so there was a death sentence for any child that was born. So as soon as these Jewish women were giving birth, so out came the Egyptians to kill. So what happened to these fetuses? So they were buried into the ground, and here comes the miracle. And that is a Mavi and Shvarim V'choshen al-Gaban. And what they would do is that the Egyptians would come with their plows and plow the field in order to kill the babies. Shenem al-Gabi Charshu Choshim, Pasuk in Tehillim. La'achr sholicham hayu mevatfetzim v'yotzin ke'esav asada. And now as a part of the miracle, so now what happens is that the babies sprouted from the ground. In other words, the Egyptians were not successful in killing the babies, despite the fact that they plowed over the ground, and babies basically now were rising from the ground, like wheat. Shenemar rivavah. So this pasuk in Yecheskel, so we are familiar with, right? It's incorporated into the Nusach of our Agada. Rivavah kitzemech hasadeh nesaticha v'kevishim is gadlin. And now, as the babies were growing from the ground, so b'im adarm adarm levatehem. So they came into their home. Shenemar v'tirbi v'tigdali v'tavoi b'adi adayim. Like herds that came back in Kishinigla, Akash Baruchu Alayam, so Hemikiru Tchila, Shenemar Zekelivan Veil. Now who was the first ones to recognize Akash Baruchu as they went through the Yamsuf? So that these babies already had tremendous nisim that occurred to these babies, so they were able to recognize and appreciate a nace. Somehow we weren't there, but I feel like everyone was able to recognize an ace, especially if the sea split for them. But, in other words, they had even more perception and more recognition, being that their experience already incorporated Nisim as part of their birth. And so they were the ones who were able to point and say, Zekaliv Anveu. Okay, let's go a little bit more today. Vayomer Melch Mitzrayim L'Miyalados HaIvrios. Okay, so now we're up to Pasuk Tes Vav. Okay, here we are methodical today in terms of just going pasuk by pasuk. So the Melech Mitzrayim said to the midwives, the Jewish midwives, Rav Shmuel Chanamar, who were the Jewish midwives? And once again, this is not going to come as a surprise to anybody because, Again, Rashi and Chumash. So, Amar Isha Obita V'chadamar Kal V'chamosa. Either was mother-daughter or it was mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. So, Manda Amar Isha Obita, so Yocheved and Miriam. So, mother-daughter combination, Yocheved and Miriam. And Manda Amar Kal V'chamosa Yocheved V'Elisheva. Alternatively, it was the Yocheved and Elisheva. Elisheva was married to Aaron. And so it was mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. So Yocheved is being one of them. And just a machlokas of whether it was daughter or daughter-in-law. Tanya Kamandam Rishabita, we have a Braisa that supports the first opinion. And the Tanya Valent and a Braisa, Shifra Zu Yocheved. Velamanikra Shifra Shem Mishaperis Es Avlan. She beautifies the child, Davar Acher Shifra. Sheparu Verav Yisrael B'yameha. Jewish people populated, procreated in her day. And Pua Zu Miriam, and in this Braisa, clearly Pua is being identified as Miriam. Valamni Krashma Pua Shaisa Pua Umotia Esavlad. So one explanation is that she would basically induce labor. Davar Acher Pua Shaisa Pua Buracha Kodesh Vamar Satida Imi Shitele Ben Shemoshia Sisra. Alternatively, Pua is that she would have a moment of divine revelation. And she said, oh, by the way, my mother's going to give birth to the Redeemer, otherwise known as Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, at this point in time, Moshe was not yet born. Okay. Here we are, Pasuk says Zion. Oh, so good. Vayomer bialken es ha'ivri os. So, what they do is they give birth to the Jewish babies, Hebrew babies, but in other words, back in the day, the Ivrim. So my avnayim. Now they give birth on the avnayim. So right and what is that word a description of? So Amr of Chanan Siman Gadol Masalahem. So Paro gave the following signs. How do I know that these women are about to give birth? So Amr Lahem Bishasha Karas Leled Yerkasa Mitzdanenos Ka Avanim. Their thighs are going to get cold like stone, and so that's going to be the telltale sign that they're about to give birth. And Paro obviously had the worst of intentions, meaning basically, I'm telling you when they're going to give birth, so that you'll be able to get ready to kill the baby. The East Amar Kidichsiva Eraid Base Ayotzer. Vine Osemalacha Al Ha'avnayim. Mayos Ezer. So Yarech. Mikan Vierch Mikan. Ustan Be'emsa. Now, when it comes to the, let's call it a blacksmith. So a blacksmith is basically straddling over his, what's that thing called in the middle? The anvil? Oh, okay, good. When straddling over the anvil, so it's a leg here and a leg there, and the anvil's right there in the middle. So, af isha, yerch mikan, v'yerch mikan, v'avlad be'emsa. So too, that's the way that a woman who is about to deliver is going to be in that kind of position. A little bit unclear over here. In other words, Paro's giving away a big secret. This is what a woman's going to look like when she gives birth. I don't know why that's a big secret. In other words, the cold in her thigh, I don't know, maybe that's a trade secret that Paro knew. Second shot I wasn't totally clear about in terms of what great secret Paro was giving away. Im hu ben v'amisa noso. So now Paro's instructions were very clear. If the baby comes out male, so then you're going to kill the baby. Amar Rabbi Chanina siman gadol maser lahem. So how do you know when the baby's coming out, whether the baby is male or female? So ben panav lamata. So bas panel lamala. So see, in other words, the head's going to come out first, but which direction is that going to come out? Face down or face up? If it's face down, it's a boy. If it's face up, it's a girl. Okay. And what happened over the years where this is not empirically found nowadays? Okay. A lot of discussion in terms of what happens as the Gemara presents to us what at that time was a science and nowadays does not seem like a science and how to deal with those problems. Open-ended question. We get to go on because we're doing the daf. And the pasuk goes on to describe that they were God-fearing women, these midwives, and they did not do as per their instruction. So lahen mi ba'ele. So once again, we run into a syntax problem. A lot of them in the course of our morning. So kasher diber. So it should have said kasher diber lahen. But meanwhile, kasher diber alehen. So that's a syntax problem. So I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Malami Shetav on Lidvar Avera. Velo Nisbu. So what Paro wanted to do is he wanted to be mezana with them. and they refused. Vatichayena es hayiladim. So the once again we get to a problem. Vatichayena es hayiladim. So that means to say that they did not kill the children, but the pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk just simply says that they enlived the children. They gave the children life. So Tana lo dayin shalai misan son ella shayu maspikos lemayim umazon. So in other words, because what the Mialdos did is that not only did they not kill the children, but just the opposite. In other words, they provided bread and water. Okay. Okay, let's pause over here. Okay, I know we're in the middle. Okay, good. Let's pause over here. All right. In terms of a summary of today's daf, that was a lot. In terms of a summary of today's daf, it's really easy. Mida keneged mida. Mida keneged mida is an operating principle that Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with us. We went over Shimshon yesterday and the day before. Right? That was Dapim Tesen Yud. So we did the mida keneged mida of Shimshon. And then in today's daf, or at least in the beginning of today's daf, so we went to Avshalom. Avshalom was Mizga'e B'Sear. So he glorified his hair. And so his punishment came about through his hair. He was hung by his hair. And so we went through a couple more details. We went through some psukim and Shmuel Beis, describing the episode, a couple of drashas, and that was the beginning of today's daf. That was Avshalom. Second part of today's daf is Mida Tova. So when it comes to Mida Tova, so Kadosh Baruch Hu exceeds, meaning that by Mida Tova, you get a greater return on investment. So whatever you do, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to match you, but greater. How do I, and the best example of that was going to be Miriam. Miriam waited just a little bit over Moshe, to see what's going to happen, and she was rewarded. The Jewish people waited for her an entire week. Okay, good. So that was, and how to deal with the language of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah doesn't say that. So Abai and Rava discuss how to deal with the language of the Mishnah. And then the remainder of today's daf is, you know what? We mentioned Miriam and she waiting over the basket. So we started with that pasuk, which was in the second parak. But then what we did is that we went back to the first parak, starting with pasuk ches, and now just meticulously going through each one of the psukim, and Medrash. In other words, in the Gemara Darshan, every one of the Psukim, Ches, Tes, Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Tes Vav, and I think we're up to Tes Zion, in terms of the Psukim in the first parak. Meaning, if you want to know what Medrash sounds like, it sounds like today. In other words, just going through each one of the Psukim and the Joshua's Chazal. So good. So that's what we did today. And Adkan.